All right, we're ready for our Masters podcast here on Zoom during the pandemic for 2021 with Phil Iacovino there. I'm Jason Iacovino. Phil, before we get going, I can just recap our last two Masters podcasts very, very quickly. The 2019 version involved you predicting that Francesco Molinari would beat Tiger Woods in the final round. And then last fall's podcast, which did not air, involved me not knowing that Dustin Johnson had never won the Masters before. So we're both idiots, and here we are with Dustin Johnson as the defending Masters champion and, again, a favorite this year.
Yep. DJ and, rightfully so, has earned the right to be the favorite, not only as the reigning Masters champion, but also the number one player in the world. Something that when he's on, he continues to be in that conversation of when he's at his best, nobody can beat him. You think back when we used to say that about Rory and guys like Spieth in that run. DJ has certainly earned the right to be in that. And this year, in this day and age's category of, when they're on, you're not going to beat him.
Yeah.
So I think that's, depending on how he plays, of course, he would have to be the favorite.
And again, when we were recording that podcast last November, prior to the final round, DJ was, or early in the final round, he was in the midst of basically a victory lap, had a huge lead, was not caught. Start of the week, a lot of talk about Bryson DeChambeau. He ended up making the cut on the number. He played better over the weekend, but certainly he's a name that people will be talking about this week, and also Jordan Spieth, who just won this last event here in Texas. Those three guys, would you throw Justin Thomas in the mix? Maybe give us one or
you
two
got it. I mean, you have to throw Justin Thomas in the mix just based on the fact that he won the Players a few weeks ago. He had a off-course distraction, obviously, that was created with something he said on the course, and it took him about a month. I think that really rattled his cage, but I think he's kind of, come to terms with that and been able to play through some of those distractions. He's been pretty transparent about that. And I mean, the Players is obviously a huge tournament, and for him to play like that in that final round says that there's nothing, that's going to stop him from doing it this week at Augusta. I would also throw a Jon Rahm, and then just way kind of like not way outside of the realm of possibility, another previous or former Masters champ, Sergio Garcia, I think you could put in the category of maybe the top six to eight guys you think might win.
Okay, and then how about, usually the Masters, just by virtue of the way the tournament is set up, usually we've got a couple guys who haven't been, might not even be playing regularly on the PGA Tour, much less being in the top 30, top 20 in the events leading up, that boom, you see their name there. I mean, you see
Ian Woosnam, sure.
Well, I don't think it's going to be Ian Woosnam, and I don't think it's going to be Fred Couples or Langer either. Could it be a guy like, I don't know, just trying to think of the names that pop up at that thing that come around.
It's not really fair to say he pops up at these things because he's won it, but, obviously Patrick Reed is going to be, as a decent chance to be there. You might see Lee Westwood, just based off of recent play, show up on the first page of the leaderboard. As far as guys like past champions that are just kind of in the field, and that's really their only exemption, I guess. You go back and it's really, maybe an Adam Scott. I mean, he's in by a couple of different ways, but I don't think really, Jose Maria Alvarado. I mean, I guess really in this, you want to talk about today's era of, the Freddie Couples of, the mid 2000s or like 2010. It's really Phil Mickelson, I guess, would be someone that you might see. And I think really that's his only exemption into the tournament is by virtue of winning it.
And Phil had a good first two rounds of the Players, actually. He was, for a guy who was plus 35,000 going into the event, he found himself, in the last four groups on Saturday at least. you know, I wouldn't be surprised at all to see a guy like Phil Mickelson up there. Like Angel Cabrera, does he even play in it anymore? I mean, is that...
He does. I mean, yeah, if you have a guarantee, I mean, it's one of those things where, I mean, Ian Woosnam's playing in this thing. If you're, you know, Brooks Koepka, who we didn't mention, who's coming off of the knee surgery, is playing in this thing, who, if it weren't the Masters, probably would have, you know, decided to not come back from this injury. There were whispers of like, oh, this is going to be a 3 or 4 month, you know, thing for Koepka. And lo and behold, he shows up for the Masters. So,
right.
But if you think like Zach Johnson or Mike Weir, I don't think so.
No.
I mean, the days of laying up on the par fives at Augusta are over.
They are. Well, let's go through some of these names that we've mentioned individually, and let's work our way back. Let's start with the most recent winner, Jordan Spieth. You know, he had been up there in contention at a few events here lately. It's been well documented he hasn't won since the 2017 Open Championship, and he finally gets it done last week. Is that a sign of things to come for Jordan Spieth, or is it, you know, is he one bad round away from being right back with his old demons, can't hit the drive straight, you know, stuff like that?
Take a look at the trend line, and it's been basically since January has been kind of leading towards this. All the way back to Phoenix, he was, you know, right there, or at least, you know, had a chance going into the weekend. And really, he had some problems with the driver, but the thing that he didn't do over this cold streak from 2017 to now, he didn't hole every 15-footer he looked at. He didn't chip in. He didn't, you know, there wasn't like Spieth kind of things. And then there was a shot on, I believe it was on Friday this week, where, you know, I think he finished the round, he shot a 70 or something. I think, yeah, he was 2 under 70 on his second round. But there was a shot where it was a par 3, and he was way off to the right. He had to punch underneath a tree over a bunker to a short-sided pin. And it's just an impossible shot to pull off for, you know, even a professional. Of course, you know, he landed just down the front of the fringe where he wanted it to land. It rolled out to like 15 feet. Now, he didn't make the putt, but it just said to me, like, well, if he's pulling these kind of shots off, like, this isn't an accident. The confidence is back. And, you know, you and I are one bad drive away from turning a potential decent round into, you know, a 96. But he's not.
Yeah, and he had some adversity at the Texas Open this week, you know, in the second nine. And he had, believe it or not, I was surprised, frankly, by how well he was pushed in that second nine. I thought it was going to be Wallace that pushed him, but it ended up being, now I forget his name.
Charlie Hoffman,
you know, who had a chip in for a birdie on a 13, yep. I believe, and then ends up making a... another nice birdie putt a couple holes later to where he drew within, you know, two and could have been one. And I'll tell you what, his short game, Jordan Spieth's short game is amazing. Now, let's pretend that you're drafting a team. Let's pretend, and I put pretend in air quotes a little bit here, that you're drafting a 3-player team for this week's Masters. But I'm going to give you the first 3 picks. Is Jordan Spieth in that group?
Yeah, assuming that, I mean, if I get the first 3 picks.
You get 3 names. You get the first 3. Is he in the group?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I would probably take him third.
Okay. All right.